Barbarian Tribes of Rome, Burgundians and Carolingians, Part 4. Now, this will be the final section of the Burgundians and will allow them to do their thing into the Middle Ages and beyond. By late 9th century, the Carolingian Empire had dissolved in all but name, but there were members of the family named Emperor, and it was mostly a hollow title. Of course, it was still one of the leaders of the different kingdoms to fight over. Western Francia, which was comprised mostly of old French-speaking Franks, would eventually turn into France, while East Francia, which comprised of Germanic people speaking a Germanic tongue, would become Germany. Charles the Bald and Louis the German seized on Lothar's death as an opportunity to take land from Lotharingia north of the Alps, absorbing pieces of the kingdom in the East Francia and West Francia. Meanwhile, a large section of what was formerly Lotharingia came to be known as Lorraine, which would remain a source of border contention between France and Germany through the 20th century. This central area between the two Frankish kingdoms was an ethnic mix of both Frankish and Germanic, and various successor states would lay claim to this land for the next 1,000 years. When Lotharingia was divided, Upper Burgundy and Lower Burgundy with Arles and Provence went to his third son, Charles of Provence, and the remaining territory north of the Alps would become Lorraine, went to his second son, Lothar II. Lothar's eldest son, Louis II, inherited Italy. The former Regium Burgundae was brought back in some form of existence by the division of Lothar's kingdom, but once again this Burgundian kingdom would not last very long. In the 50 years following the Treaty of Verdun, the newly restored kingdom was gradually split into three parts. 843, 879, and 888. By the end of this whole process, the Kingdom of Burgundy had become the Duchy of Burgundy, based on the northwest, the Kingdom of Lower Burgundy in the south, and the Kingdom of Upper Burgundy in the northeast. Although the term Burgundy was still occasionally applied to them as a collective, it was rare and became essentially meaningless in relation to older Burgundian kingdoms. This dismemberment of Burgundy began when Charlemagne's empire was distributed to his grandsons. Much of what became core of Burgundy around Lyon was ceded to West Francia, even though this region continued to be referred to as Regium Burgundae. Within West Francia, the part of Old Burgundy was not given any particular status until the 880s, when 7 duchies were created, including the Duchy of Burgundy. Richard of Aytum, also known as Richard the Justicar, was the Count of Aytum from 880 and became the first Duke of Burgundy. He ruled over all the counties of Burgundy except Mâcon, and by 918 he was called Dux Burgundian or Dux Burgundae. This title didn't mean that there was a unified Burgundian dukedom. It indicated he had a number of counties in a specific region of which he was liege lord. They became lumped together as an administrative unit and evolved into the duchy that successfully expanded all the way to the Low Countries. The situation in other areas at the time that had been included in earlier Burgundian kingdoms was no less complicated when Lotharingia was split. These areas were further subdivided and joined with other entities, all of which used the name Burgundy. It is straightforward enough to understand that Charlemagne's grandsons each received approximately 1/3 of the Carolingian Empire, and Lotharingia was made up of 3 sections. Furthermore, those 3 sections, for the avoidance of confusion, were the Duchy of Burgundy, Upper Burgundy, and Lower Burgundy. After the death of Charles the Fat in 888, Richard supported the claim of Duke Rudolf to be the king of Upper Burgundy, and he married his sister Adelaide, who was the daughter of Conrad II of Auxerre. Richard also supported the coronation of his nephew Louis as the king of Provence in 890. After the overthrow of Charles the Bald in 877, Boso proclaimed the king of Burgundy and Provence at Vienna in 879, and he established the kingdom that became known as Lower Burgundy and Provence. Boso became the first non-Carolingian king in Western Europe in more than a century. His elevation was most notable in that he was elected to the position following the first free election among the Franks that took no account of royal descent. Boso's realm, usually called the Kingdom of Provence, without the Lower Burgundy element attached, comprised the ecclesiastical provinces of the archbishops of Arles, Aix, Vienne, and Lyon and Besançon. However, Richard, as the Duke of Burgundy, ensured that constant military interventions that Basso never had much control over the majority of his realm. In effect, he was confined to the county of Vienne, and so it could be argued that he serves little purpose to consider Basso's kingdom as a true Burgundian kingdom. Upper Burgundy was centered in what is now western Switzerland and included some neighboring territories now in France and Italy. It became later known as French Comte and was formed into the Kingdom of Upper Burgundy. The nobles proclaimed Rudolf I King of Burgundy at Saint-Maurice in Switzerland. Rudolf claimed the whole of Lotharingia for his new kingdom and initially succeeded in capturing much of modern Lorraine and Alsace. However, Arnulf of Carinthia, the new king of East Francia or Germany, forced Rudolf to abandon Lotharingia in return for being recognized as the king of Upper Burgundy. The dynastic alliances negotiated by Duke Richard did not lead to the reunification of Lotharingia or any kingdom based on the early kingdoms of Burgundy. And neither the kingdom of Upper Burgundy nor Lower Burgundy can really be compared to the past Burgundian kingdom. The name Burgundy was applied in the coming centuries to many different geographical locations. But the reality is that with the creation of the Duchy of Burgundy from the core territories of the older kingdom, ambitions to create a kingdom faltered and then disappeared entirely. The regions styling themselves as Kingdom of Burgundy in the Middle Ages were quickly absorbed into either France or the Holy Roman Empire. That said, Burgundy's many dukes had enormous influence in the history of Europe throughout the Middle Ages. This duchy attained its golden age under Philip the Bold, 1342 to 1440, and his successors became so powerful it could challenge France. In fact, at the time, duchy was equal in terms of strength and wealth. Successive dukes married well, increasing the duchy's cross-border land and power. By the time the Low Countries had become part of the duchy, Burgundy was once again a major player in European politics, although it never managed to reestablish itself as a completely separate kingdom. So one final thing, and that's Burgundy and Catholicism. Now the role of Burgundy played in helping to establish Catholicism in France is usually overlooked, but Burgundy produced a number of highly influential saints and became the center of European monasticism. The most famous of these saints is Sigismund, who endorsed Catholicism during his reign, and perhaps the second most influential was St. Gulbis of Burgundy, who died in 760. King Gulbis was the Burgundian courtier, and evidence suggests he was a great landowner whose family dominated the region. As a youth, he was known for his honesty, chastity, and propriety. He visited churches and read religious texts. After his parents died, he became a model landowner, taking care of the household economy and providing for churches and the poor in his land. He eventually went on to renounce his wealth and became a hermit before he was murdered by his wife's lover. Another high-born figure was canonized was Saint Adelaide, daughter of King Rudolf II of Upper Burgundy. She was married twice, but on both occasions to kings, and she used her position and power to help the poor to evangelize, especially amongst the Slavs. She also helped build and restore monasteries and churches. This tradition of founding monasteries and convents was particularly prevalent among the Burgundian royalty and nobility, as evidenced by these three examples, all of whom significantly added number of religious houses in Burgundy. The most famous of the Burgundian monastery is the Cluny Abbey, a Benedictine monastery dedicated to St. Peter. The abbey was constructed in the Romanesque architectural style with three churches built in succession from the 4th to the 12th century. The earliest basilica was one of the largest churches until the construction of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The abbey known throughout the world today was founded in 910 on the foundations of those earlier buildings. It became renowned for its strict adherence to the rule of St. Benedict, and in doing so became the acknowledged leader of Western monasticism. It was from there that the Cluny Order and the Cistercian Order spread throughout Europe, and their influence on medieval Christianity is widely acknowledged. I would point out that the Cluny Monastery believed that the church could only be united if everybody followed the Pope, and so the Cluny Acts would only follow whatever the Pope said, not necessarily archbishops and whatever. So that's one group that led to a more powerful papacy. So that finishes our Burgundian, and that leaves us really just with one more group to visit, and that is the Anglo-Saxons. So that's where we will begin next time.
Now the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Attila the Hun by Worrell, The Burgundians by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths by Burns, and The History of the Vandals by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.